Angela.
And I'm Jay Percy.
And welcome to the Afro-Animist Podcast. We are two Abir women and animist conjurers exploring witchcraft, healing and psychedelics.
The Afro-Animist Podcast explores the secular through the spiritual, discussing life experiences through a sacred lens.
Here you'll get to hear talk about philosophy, metaphysics, occultism, shamanism, culture, healing, nature, animism,
the arts, conspiracies, psychedelics, and witchcraft. Nothing is off the table in these discussions, which aim to get to the heart of what it means to be spiritual and Afro-diasporic in an increasingly sterile, authoritarian, and Eurocentric world.
As Afro-Caribbean millennial Londoners, we keep it real whilst exploring the biggest mysteries of our multiverse. Join us in holding this space to cry, laugh, debate, build community and tear down oppressive structures.
Welcome, 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 beautiful, beautiful being of the multiverse. Welcome to the Afro-Animist Podcast. You are here with me today, Jay Percy the artist.
And me, Nicola. And today we are going to be talking about animal communication, which is literally such an exciting subject. It's so exciting.
It's so exciting. And we are approaching animal communication, surprise, surprise, from the animist perspective, not necessarily from a Caesar Milan dog whisperer, yeah, horse whisperer perspective.
But I feel like they are actually... They are closely linked.
If they you are linked, those, yeah,
people's work, for sure. I mean, I just, before we came onto this, I googled animal communication, expecting all of the kind of like spiritual stuff to come up. And what came up was, there were four ways animals communicate with each other: grunting, farting, like, you know, it's not that kind of communication.
Not that kind at all. We're talking about the deep spiritual soul communication, kind of communication with animals. That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Exactly. So, have you ever looked into, Jay, animal communication, like as a practice?
As a practice, honestly, I think. Okay, so I'm going to probably rewind about a bit so there's some context there. I have a cat. I have a cat called Fox, short for Foxy Brown. She has a sister called Roxy who lives with my mom and my brother, so he would say that's his cat. I consider them both my cats. So I've had these two for the last 15 years of my life, and they were living with my mom for a really long time because I rent and I'm not allowed pets. And you know, when I was actually living there with them, I started to understand who they were, you know, their little personalities and how certain chirps or meows sort of you could attribute to certain feelings. But it isn't really until I met you, actually, where I came across this idea of, like, talking to your animals in a way, like putting images into their head to explain what you're doing. And I went on a bit of a rabbit hole mission on the interwebs learning about this after listening to you talk about your relationship with your dog, JJ. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's relatively new to me. So I'm sure there's a lot you're going to be able to school me on today.
School's open, guys. Yeah, I feel really excited. I'm just super excited. I'm like, finally, people are going to listen to me chat about this stuff, which I have been talking about for years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had a cat. I got a cat when I was, I got a cat over 10 years ago, which is, I'm not going to say age. and unfortunately, she was only with me for 2 years on this plane. But she was a massive lesson. Like, I'd always wanted animals, but being like from Peckham, you know, it wasn't like I could walk out and see an animal. It was, you know, there was, yeah, I didn't have that experience in my life. I always wanted a pet, and my mum was just like, no. Or she'd say, not right now. Now's not the right situation. You know, every single year until, yeah, I was old enough to just kind of take the situation into my own hands. And when I got her, I just really realized that I had no clue about how animals communicate, and not like in a psychic way or a spiritual way, just like, what does a cat do? Like, how do you look after the cat? And so I started doing all this research, and I found, you know, animal communication as a practice. It's a telepathic practice. And then just trying to kind of be with her as an animal and witness and watch her, almost like, you know, I'm David Attenborough up in my living room with this cat, just like, yeah, watching, like, so how, you know, how is she talking to me? Like, you mentioned this earlier about Foxy, just that you understand like the different sounds she makes, that you understand what they mean, like on an emotional level. Like, and lots of people will say animals don't have like emotions and things like that, which is like, it's utter bullshit. If you've had one pet, especially if you've had a dog, I think, then you understand, though, like, they feel these emotions and they let you know where they're at.
They
let you know. And I just think as a human being, it's really important to begin to understand and respect the intelligence of other beings on our planet. Having an animal in
the intelligence
home,
too.
Intelligence, like, that's one thing, so man. Yeah, they're so clever. There's, you know, before I had a cat, I genuinely did not get it. I'd never really made a relationship with an animal, yeah, like where they weren't just somebody's cat or whatever. and yeah, it's a different thing. I mean, do you follow? Because at the moment, I feel like science is catching up with what animal communication.
Are you about to go on to like the types of Instagram accounts, like Bunny the dog or Billy? Yeah.
Billy speaks. What about Bunny?
Yeah.
And the person who that came from is called Hunger for Words. Now, I was following Hunger for Words years ago before she had many followers. She had like 1,000 followers. She's literally, I think, got like 1 million followers now, because she's an the woman who runs that page. She is like an early learning speech therapist. So if, for example, a child who's like 3, 4 hasn't learned to speak properly yet, then she comes in with these techniques and she helps improve their language skills. So what she did was she just moved what she does for human children over to her dog to see how that would work, and it fucking works. It's the most incredible thing to see. And as somebody who for years was into animal communication and I'm feeling like a proper hippie about it, you know, like going, oh yeah, my cat's this, and people are like, come the fuck on, Nick, she just wants some chicken, like,
she only nice to you for food. Cats aren't nice.
I mean, there's an element of that which is kind of, but you know, the whole thing of like, I don't know if you've ever seen these memes or videos going around where they're saying, it will be like the cat saying, humans feed me, stroke me, bathe me, house me, I am God. And dog saying, humans feed me, bathe me, love me, and the human is God. Like, yeah. But yeah, so this lady who does Hunger for Words, I feel like has done such a massive service, because for decades there have been these animal communicators who are saying animals have this high level of intelligence. They can understand, you know, past, present, future. They can understand all different range of things. And they've been poo-pooed, you know, they're saying, no, your dog can't understand tomorrow, your dog can't understand yesterday, your dog can't understand what nighttime is to daytime, which is, you know, when you really think about it, it's kind of ridiculous. Yeah. And then she has created this way of speaking, which she does through recording words onto to like buttons. So she'll record the word sit, and the dog will, she'll teach the dog to press that word. So it's the same when you're training your animal as you would with skills, but you're just training them to actually be able to put those words into sentences and actually explain themselves. And especially if you watch What About Bunny, she, like, the evolution of that dog has been so amazing. It's like, it is, you cannot deny the reality of her intelligence. Like, she is constantly in existential crisis. Like, why?
What is dog?
Why dog? Yeah, exactly.
You human?
Why rain? Why? Why did you? You know, it's just like,
why bird?
Why bird? It's the most amazing thing, man. It's the most amazing thing. How do you feel like Foxy communicates with you?
Oh, how doesn't she communicate with me? Mm-hmm. So first of all, in the morning, I am awoken rudely by Foxy, who jumps up and down on top of me and sticks her paw into my duvet where my face is and like pokes at my face until I wake up. And then, yeah, every morning around 6 a.m. without fail. And until I wake up, she is there meowing at me. It's a very, very specific tone. And then when I walk with her to her bowl, there's like a decidedly, like it's definitely a more chipper, like, ooh, I'm being fed. Mm-hmm. Once she's been fed and all of that sort of drama around that's been done, she has this, it's really weird. She expects us to get up at a certain time each day and even go to bed at a certain time each day. If I don't go to bed on time, like around 10:30, she starts frantically running out of the living room and the bedroom to, it's almost like she's saying, right, it's bedtime now, why aren't you in this room? It's, she like has a schedule, and if I do not stick to it, she has different meows, different tonality to like tell me exactly what the problem is. And it isn't, before this I was able to sort of communicate with her when she was at my mum's and whatnot. But it's really since doing the mushrooms that I'm probably a lot more honed in to the difference in how she's feeling, what she's essentially saying, the expressions on her face as she says these things. And while it's not being translated into English, I can pretty much understand what it is she wants from me, what it is she expects from me, or if she's happy and doesn't really expect anything, if she's just expressing the fact that she's calm and relaxed. And it's been really great over the last few months. The reason I have her here with me now is because she had a cancer scare in November. And luckily she didn't have cancer, it was just a scare. So I had to bring her home, well, to me, to give her medicines regularly because mum couldn't keep up with that. And getting to know her again at this late stage in her life, and really getting to communicate with her post-psychedelics has been a completely different experience than when I was like a 15-year-old with a new kitten. Oh, I could gush about her for days. She's so naughty. She's so demanding. If she had any of these qualities in a human, I'd be like, oh, that person, I just can't deal with them today. But because it's her, it's almost like I give her a pass for being this demanding, moody teenager.
Do you not think, though, that that's like, it's like we tend to be able to accept these things in animals and even enjoy these things in animals we can enjoy in humans because they're like, it's pure, it's still pure. Even if she's being a grumpy old woman, it's still really pure. Whereas yeah. I feel like human beings, it can be a struggle to get to that level of pureness of emotion. Like I just know, you just know what you're gonna, you know what you're gonna get with your animal a lot of the time.
Yeah, you safer. Do. Yeah. It's also interesting to point out, there's a cell, there's a bacteria in cats, Toxoplasmosis gondii. It actually changes human behavior. It exists in cat owners and it makes you like them more. It makes you really like obsessed with them. So it's almost like this symbiotic connection between the cats and yourself that kind of like hardwires you to wanting to look after them, to wanting to dote on them.
That's crazy. So, I mean, so never heard that.
Do I love her or am I just infected with a cat parasite? No, I definitely love her. She's my little angel. She's no angel.
No, but would you want her to be? This is the thing. It's like I feel like when we got my dog JJ, we had this kind of conversation with each other, which is like we want him to be a good boy. We want him to be obedient, but we don't want to train his personality out of him. Yeah. And like we want him to just be completely like who he is. There are definitely times that I question my choices. That is for you. But it's just it's such a nice thing to just like be able to have this being around you and just like accept each other.
Yeah,
it's so much harder to do with human beings. I find it anyway. Maybe I'm a bit strange, but you know, When I had my cat, actually, my cat, she was called Dania, after Dania Lakshmi, name of Lakshmi. It means like blessing or gift, or in some translations I've read have said it means like blessing of food. But when I got her, I was like, she's a blessing. Like, I've wanted an animal for, you know, 20 plus years, and I finally got this blessing. And she was such a, it's funny, people used to say she was really like me. She was proper aloof. I think I am quite cat-like. Okay. But she, you know, she would only be around you when she wanted to be around you. Like, if she was in your presence, man, you felt fucking honored, because she, that was not how she was. If she came and sat on you, it was like, oh my gosh, I am fucking, I'm special. I'm special. And she taught me so many amazing little things. Like, I did try animal communication with her, but I wasn't adept. And sometimes it is actually quite hard to do with your own animal. But I just learned so many lessons from her, like so many lessons. So I remember when she was like a teeny little kitten, and we have like, at my mum's house, there's like the window, it's like a big window. It kind of comes up to your waist, you know, kind of like from the floor to the ceiling, but halfway up where you'd open it is kind of waist height. So she was teeny, like she could not reach that window at all. And I decided, living in London, that I was not going to, she was going to be a house cat. Like, there's no fucking way she was going outside. So I'm watching over a period of about 4 weeks, her just jumping to this gap in the window, running across the room, like for like an hour, she just run to the room, try and get it through it. And she just couldn't do it. And at the time I was training, I was doing gymnastics, and it was such an interesting thing to see her attempting this thing every single day, getting minutely better at it, to the point where, you know, you're not really even really going to notice it or feel that you've made any progress at all. And but she just kept doing it until one day she was through that fucking window, and I was like, oh shit, get the cat. But for me as a gymnast, I was like, this is it. It's like, there was something so beautiful in the way that she just kept going, that she didn't have any self-doubt. She didn't go, oh, I haven't made it this time, so I'm not going to try again. She just tried again and again and again and again and again until she made it. And finally she made it. And I just felt like that was such, for me, that was like a profound lesson.
That's,
I was like,
inspirational.
Oh my gosh. I can keep running for it. But when she died, actually, it was really, really sad. So when I'd got her, I felt like, the day that I got her, I felt like, I'm only going to have her for 2 years. And I had her for just under 2 years. And it was such a weird thing. Cause then I did after that research, like, and apparently in London, on average, your cat will survive for 2 years if it's an outdoor cat, because they'll just all get hit by cars.
Wow.
And she was hit by a car. It was so, oh my gosh, it was so devastating. My first baby. But the night before, she got hit, I was going through like some boy stuff. And I was in my room, and I was just like, you know, I spent the whole day in my room, and she just come in and she just hang out with me, and she just got on my bed. And again, she didn't really do that. She liked her own space. So I'd really noticed that I'm just there like wailing, like in bed. And she just was with me the whole time. She didn't leave to get water. She didn't leave to get food. She didn't leave to do anything. She just stayed with me the whole time. And then I had a dream. So maybe the night before that, actually, I'd had a dream where she'd died. And I literally woke up screaming, Dania, oh my gosh. And she was there in the room, and she kind of was like, meow, meow, I'm here, babe, don't, you know, chill, it's cool. The next day, you know, she was spent the whole day with me. And then I woke up at like 5 a.m. and she'd gone out the window. And I went out, and then when I came home, she'd been hit by a car. And for me, it was like, I don't know if I've explained it with the full kind of like how deep it was for me that she'd spend that time with me, but it was like, she knew that we had limited time together. And even just having that dream, I mean, that dream fucked me up, if I'm honest. I was like, I should have just shot the window. Like, it would have been fine.
But it wasn't there for you to blame yourself. It was there to prepare you, but it's easy to 100%. Take it as that.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, and it was beautiful. My experience with her was full of lessons. She was the most amazing animal, and she's definitely been with me. I mean, they say that your animal, like, so your last animal that you've had will bring your next animal to you. So you'll always find this link. And actually, JJ is quite like Dania. And maybe, again, that's because I've raised him, but he's got an attitude. Yeah. just like her.
You raise attitude-y animals.
I raise attitude-y animals, man. You need attitude to get by in the world. That's, you know, you need to have some personality. Yeah, but it was so amazing to it's have a
beautiful
connection
with that her. She spent that time with you as well, because I don't know, I read something the other day with someone pointing out cats being like crystals, you know, this sort of calming energy that absorbs any excess, I guess, negativity that surrounds you. And sometimes Foxy will sit on my chest, and when you can feel her purring, you're getting that sort of vibration, which is how crystals work, right? Via vibrations. And this purring is this continual vibration. And no matter how bad a week I've had, and like this week I managed to mess up my back by sneezing of all things. Yeah, apparently that's just what happens when you reach your 30s.
It was stress. It was stress.
I was stressed out, and then I sneezed, and then it happened. And you're right, it was entirely stress. But where I've been lying, spent a lot of the week lying down, I've just found her like near me. And she's not, I find this with them, they're not particularly, people think cats aren't affectionate. I just don't think they're affectionate in a way that you expect affection. She'll spend a lot of time near me, but not on me. So this week, where I've been feeling really poorly, she's been very much on me, and I've definitely felt the difference in that sort of relationship there.
Do you know what's so amazing about that? And you mentioning about the purring, right? And it, how the vibration and how that could be similar to crystals is, you know, science says that the purring that cats make is a healing. So actually when they're purring, obviously it's comfort a lot of the time, but it's actually a healing vibration, and it can heal things within their body. And that also works on human beings. So if she has this week, this is what I mean. Dania knew to be with me when I needed her to be with me. Like this week, when you've been in like crazy pain, Foxy's been near to you or on you in a way she wouldn't normally be. And that vibration, but I'm sure, has been helpful to your healing. God, so they're phenomenal, man.
So important. They're phenomenal. They're like living crystals. They're amazing, amazing, amazing creatures.
Oh.
So tell me a bit about how you communicate with JJ, because you've mentioned in the past to me things where you'll like put images into his head, you'll like close your eyes and focus, that type of thing. Is there anything you can tell me about that? I'm really fascinated in that.
So this is animal communication, right? Yeah. So as soon as you start to kind of delve into it, then you'll understand that animal communication is telepathy. If we say it's telepathy, then we're all like, oh, that isn't fucking real. But actually, the understanding is that sending images between your minds and others' minds is the first language. So even when you have a baby, like think about how that child communicates, like think about that connection. Obviously, we have all these things in our body language that show our feelings, and you can read different sounds and whatnot. But there's this overarching thing, like where there is a different kind of communication. So even between your friends and stuff, like how hard is it? Like people always say, how hard is it to understand when like a text message? For example, you can completely read that text message in a different way. If someone's sitting in front of you, then the conversation you have is so much more full and different, because you're communicating not just with your words, you're communicating with your body language. And a lot of the time it's a feeling, you know, like, so as an actress, we've got this whole thing, it's all about subtext, you know, what are they saying behind the lines, right? How do I get that feeling out? I'm just thinking that really bigly, like actually I'm saying, hey, how are you? But really, hey, how are you means you're a fucking dick. Like, but when I say, hey, how are you? You hear me saying you're a fucking dick because of what I put behind those words. But even just to think about it like that, like we communicate in this massive way, and we as humans are actually quite silly to just think that it is just words. It is not just words. So they call this the first language, or the universal language, which is, you know, before language, or just the way that all beings in the world communicate. So obviously this is an animist idea. right? Mm. That everything has a level of intelligence. And if it's on this, in this realm, then it, you can communicate with it. So you have to find the way to do that. And that will almost always be a telepathic communication where you're receiving images in different ways. So with animal communication, it's the same thing. So when I first discovered it, it was really interesting because it's before I had a dog, but it was really based around dogs. So I think people were trying to find different techniques to use that were a bit easier to train their animals. And one of the first ways I understood it, and I think it's a really, really good way to explain it, is that, for example, so if you have a dog, you have to like potty train it, right? You have to train it to want to go to the toilet outside. Now, one thing that people can do with dogs is, you know, you hear a lot of time, like the dogs piss in the living room. And so they hold the nose of the dog. They like put their face in the wee and go, no, 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 this is wrong. This is wrong. Now that very rarely will actually train the dog to not pee in the living room because you haven't told it what it's supposed to do. You're just going to, this is the wrong thing to do. So what you would do as an animal communicator, for example, is your animal might take a piss in the living room and you wouldn't even really deal with that with the dog because they're not going to understand that. What you do is you send them an image of where they should be going to the toilet and then you take them to that place. So you send them an image of the garden, that pot spot in the garden they pee, and then you take them to their place. And it's like, so... the idea is like if you go and you just tell your dog no and you put their face in the wheel or whatever and try and train them like that, then the only image they're getting from you is that they're peeing on the carpet. So they're receiving no from you in words, but they're getting this image because all animals speak this universal language, whether or not we're aware of it. They're getting this image from you of the wrong thing, you know, so it confuses that. So I just think that's a really beautiful way to understand it. You know, if you're trying to communicate with your animal, it's about sending them images in the way that you, in the things that you would want to do. And it doesn't have to be images. Like some people struggle with visualization. So one thing that I've read is, for example, if you wanted to chat to Foxy, you could just imagine as you're saying the words, you could just imagine those as like written words going into her head. So it's all about intention and focus, you know, so it's quite out there in a sense, but it for sure works, like without a doubt.
Definitely. You're telling me this lovely story about explaining to, I mean, JJ and I, no relation, have similar names. So Nicola was telling me this lovely story of her putting this image into JJ's head as to who's coming to visit today. And I remember you saying JJ getting really excited once you'd sort of sent this image across. And I just thought that was such a fascinating use of the communication that I never would have thought to have attempted. So I guess if you have a pet, if you have an animal that's close to you, I would suggest trying that because, you'd be really surprised at what communication you might be able to form with your furry friend.
Exactly. And it goes both ways as well. So that was such a nice moment actually, because he'd met you I think like once, and you know, I try and train people's names, but it can be a bit of a process. But then I did that. He got really excited, and then we got in the car, and when we came to get you, do you remember, it was like I almost crashed the car. So I got my foot on the brake. Jay gets in the car and JJ literally almost jumps over the seat and out of the car. Like he gets excited for people, but he's never tried to do that before. And I was like, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't have let him know who we were picking up because now he can't handle his car.
But what a beautiful soul, such a lovely dog.
He is so lovely. I don't know how he turned out that way. But like, he is a joy. He is an absolute joy.
He has you. You should give yourself more credit than that.
I know, I'm wonderful. Anyway. So I actually would love, I really want to explain like really how to do this, but also I want to talk about the people who have done it, who will blow your mind. So I don't know if you've ever seen, what's her name? Amanda Breitenbach. I should have sent you this video, babe. Like, she's a South African animal communicator, and she's got an amazing story because she's not She's just like one of those people, you know, where it's like, yeah, I just found this thing and it turns out this is what I was here to do. You know, just randomly.
God, just, those people stumbling on their life path by mistake.
And if you see her speak, though, you see it. You're like, wow, she's in a different place, like, to where I am on a day to day. And there's this beautiful video about, it's called Spirit, the Black Panther, right? It's on YouTube. Yeah. Maybe I'll link it in the description box. And so there was this in South Africa. There was this, what do you call it? Where they save animals? Where they save lions?
Rescue center.
Rescue center. That's it. So there was this rescue center, and they had they saved big cats. That was their thing. And they were pros. They weren't into anything. They weren't spiritual in any way. They just like had their big cats, and they looked after the big cats, and that was that. And they had this one Black Panther that they had called Diablo, and he'd come over from like Asia or something, I think, and they literally had never been able to in any way let him come out of his cage and be with the other big cats. So they were really good at kind of helping these relationships form and giving them like this, you know, there was a big, massive plane for these animals to be on. But this one panther could not do that. He was too dangerous. They couldn't let him out. So they were really upset because they literally rescued him from a cage in Asia, like some circus or something, and brought him over to South Africa to give him this amazing end of life. And they couldn't give it to him. And it was really stressing them out. So they tried everything they could try, and it was just that last thing, like, oh, you know, this random animal communicator hippie person, like, should we just try that, because we've literally done everything we could possibly do? Yeah, let's just try that. And she came in, and watching this video is actually, it will make you cry. Like, so she came in to this rescue center, and she sat down in front of Diablo's cage, and she just started communicating with him, like, obviously to rest of us, just looks like she's sitting there looking at a cat, but she's doing her communication. And and Diablo starts speaking to her. He's like, say, so number one, I fucking hate that they've called me Diablo. I'm not a devil. I'm an elder. Like, I need respect. I need them to change my name. I'm not answering to that name, right? Which is a pretty fucking, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
But fair enough. And I just love the way she said it. Like, he was saying, you know, I'm an elder, I deserve a certain kind of respect. So this is also like to understand the intelligence of them and how we kind of think of them and treat them. That they have their hierarchies, they have the same kind of thing that we have, where there's like an element of respect for you having been on this earth maybe for longer than someone else. And then he also said to her, like, one of the things that was really upsetting him and why he couldn't like calm down basically was that when he was in this circus or wherever it was, he had next to him two baby tiger cubs. And he wanted to know what had happened to those two cubs, because he'd been saved and he was panicked about these two little babies that were next to him. I'm like, oh God, it gives me chills just talking about it. And she went to the guy who, you know, and she said to the guy, he doesn't want to be called Diablo, and they're like, okay. But then she goes to the guy who owns the rescue center and says, he's been saying about these two little tiger cubs that were next to him. And the guy just bursts into tears, and he's like, what the fuck? Like, literally, there's no way on earth that anybody apart from them could have known the situation that panther was in, and that there were in fact these two little tiger cubs next to him. And so he said to her, what? No, they're fine, they got adopted by this other rescue center, and they're having an amazing life. So she went back and told Diablo, and his fucking whole thing changed. She said to him, you know, these people want to look after you, they want to know that you can be safe, and that you can, you know, be out and interact. And that fucking same day, Jay, they let him out of the cage and he was fine. They changed his name to Spirit because he wanted his name to be Spirit instead of Diablo. And I'm just like, do you know what I mean? Watch the video. Because and I'm very much, you know, I know I'm here on like some deep spiritual podcast, but I am a cynic. Like, I don't like to just do a thing because people say the thing is the thing you should do, or believe in everything that people say, because, you know, you need to be able to have a bit of refinement in your work and really find
you do. That makes sense. Like, otherwise, how else do you know you're being conned or not?
Exactly. So seeing this video literally made me go, all the places in me where I was like, I don't know if I really believe it, were out of the window. Because it's just things like that where, you know, he immediately changed. And I think, you know, having my doggy and giving him the respect of actually talking to him like he can understand me, I think is part of why our relationship is so amazing, and part of why whenever anyone meets him, they're like, oh my god, he's just such a cool dog, like he's so loving, he's so this, like I feel like he understands us as much as, do you know what I mean? Or he probably understands us more than we understand him, to be honest.
Yeah, and you give him that space to know that he's being understood, because how frustrating. Can you imagine just being like plucked from here and being put into like a family in the middle of China? You don't speak any Chinese and they're talking to each other all day, and then you're just sort of sat. How frustrating would it be not being able to like convey yourself in that situation?
Well, this is why I think the lady who took the speech therapy from kids and gave it to animals is so important, because you know, that's what it's about. Like, how can you find the space really to figure out that a being will want to understand and communicate with you? Like, when I'm around a lot of toddlers at the moment, I've got a beautiful little 3-year-old nephew, and you know, he's at that stage where he understands everything and he can speak to you, but he doesn't have like a wealth of words where he can communicate his innermost feelings that he's feeling. Do you know what I mean? But he's feeling those feelings. And so he then gets frustrated and has a tantrum because he can't express the fucking feelings. Luckily for him, he's, you know, he will be able to communicate fully in English within the next few years. But my dog, unless I give him like a little bit of respect, like, will never be able to communicate with me fully in my language. So it's really important, I think, to kind of understand that your animal has intelligence, and then try to give them respect of communication. Like, you know, watching, even if you go and watch What About Bunny, another dog who uses the buttons, the way her owner talks to her is just like the way her owner, you know, would talk to another human being. Bunny, what do you want to do today? You know, and for me, like with JJ especially, I just, it's made such a difference, man. He understands everything, like everything. Yeah. I have to be careful what I say around him. I think many dog owners will find that. Like, there's certain words you can't say. But it's got to the point now where I feel like we will spell certain words. Like, we'll spell treat instead of saying treat. We'll be like, is it time for a treat? And JJ will be like, I can spell that word.
I know the alphabet, bitch.
It's so funny. so funny.
You can't hear this now, but Foxy's behind me and she is snoring like a little old man. It's so loud.
I can't hear her. I love Foxy. She's such an old lady. It's like when I went to Jay's house and Foxy was there, I just felt like I'm walking into Foxy's house. Jay's allowed to live here with Foxy.
That is exactly the situation. All of this was just prepared for her to like swan in and, you know, own the place. I'm simply a guest who feeds her on it whenever she needs it.
Exactly. God. So I do want to talk a bit about how you actually, and we have, you know, addressed it a little bit. But when it comes to actually doing animal communication, I feel like we've spoken a lot about you communicating with your animal and not them, not necessarily them communicating with you.
Meeting back, yeah.
It's the same thing. So it's the same like we've spoken about before in our previous podcast, where we've said about connecting with the land. And, you know, like if you're talking to a tree ain't going to speak back to you in English. It's going to speak back to you in tree. You need to learn tree. It's the same with animals.
It's exactly
the same language. So just being aware that actually, if you're doing this kind of practice, that you can, you need to create the space as well to be able to speak to your animal, but also to be able to have them speak back to you and to be able to receive that. And
how,
that is
how does JJ speak back to you?
Attitude. No. Well, again, it's the same thing. So it's like, if you're aware that you're sending images, it's the receiving of that back. And I think if you have a relationship with an animal, then that whole process will probably evolve and change a lot and be a bit more specific to your animal. And in general, like what I found in learning animal communication, and not just having like a wealth of animals to practice on, just having my pets, it's kind of like, it's harder, because you have that voice in your head that's going, well, no, he's saying, you know, the bit that comes in and says, well, no, he's not saying that, he's saying this, or does he, you know, I think he's telling me that he wants a drink, but actually I know that he needs to have his ears clean, or just, you know, whatever it is, my logical voice is coming in, and people can find that quite difficult. So I would recommend, if you can, and I did this for a while and it's actually really fun, like if you go out, so if you're going out to, you know, for a walk or whatever, or to park, to the woods, any animal you can communicate with, and it's really good to just start practicing. So the birds that you see, the squirrels that you see, I mean, if you're down in the sticks like me, the rabbits, the eagles, there's so many butterflies, insects, everything you can practice on. And I think it's really important to practice on a wealth of different creatures, because then you'll start to understand the differences in the way that they communicate, or make it easier. But really, for animal communication, it's that it's a form of meditation and trance. So the first thing that you would do is just sit and meditate, get into a meditative space, try and clear your mind, and then, like you would for things, you can do a protection. So there, a lot of the time people say you should put protection around you, and that can just look like you visualizing a white light around you, or a bubble, or just calling your guides, you know, however that works for you. And then if you have the animal in front of you, then you're focusing on the animal. If you don't, you can do it with a picture. So I love doing it with pictures, because you can, pictures are, like, I think this is a Native American belief, like, that the picture, like, a picture captures a bit of your soul. And I really think there's an element of truth in that. So you look at the picture and you focus on the eyes of that animal, and then you call their name. So it's, for me, I don't really work if I don't know the animal's name, or a kind of name of the animal. But you call the name, and then it is just that moment of connecting in with them. And then you can send messages back and forth. And you know, when you start doing anything like this, it can feel like really, really out there. But then you do, you know, you do start to see results. And it is that thing where you have to keep working at it. Like any of this stuff, like with meditating, with trance, you have to keep working at it until you get to a place where you feel comfortable. But once you're there, the process is easy. It isn't, because what we have to remember is we already know this. We're born with this language. This is the universal language. All we are doing is remembering it. All we are doing is reopening ourselves back up to being able to communicate in that way. And I've found, for me, that if you do that kind of practice and you can connect to that place, then you're connecting greatly to your intuition, and that becomes a bigger work, and works better for you, shall we say. But also in your interactions with humans, other humans, you can glean so much more from those situations. You can understand so much more and read so much more from humans as well. So it isn't just about the animals and the plants, but it's a good place to start, I think.
Yeah, totally. I think a good way to think about accessing these places as well, if you start with the basis, the foundation, knowing that the imagination isn't some throwaway term that means imaginary doesn't exist. If you start thinking about this as a place, every time that you're meditating or changing the state of your brainwaves to a more meditative vibration, you're able to access this place, which isn't just some throwaway place. Like I said, it's an actual real place where everything exists, and it's almost through this frequency, this like radio station, that you're able to get down and talk to animals. And once you start getting to the flow of being able to meditate before doing this, eventually the meditation, it becomes this trance state that you can pull yourself in and out of whenever you really choose to. I was in a car park yesterday, and I was able to get up in a car park of all places. I was able to get really, really close to like a starling. And if you know these little birds, they're very flighty. As soon as you move towards them even a little bit, they all just disappear. But in seeing this bird and being able to like calm myself down and approach this animal, I was able to get really, really close to it. And there I was, a crazy lady in the middle of a car park talking to a starling, but that's just me. but I was really excited to be able to get within like half a foot of this like starling, who held eye contact, and we had like a moment. It was really sweet before it decided to like bounce away. it becomes this thing that you realize is really, really possible. It's not just something crazy cat ladies talk about. It's this very real form of communication that does exist within us, but we're told to not believe it, not trust it. We're told to not believe it. And a believe is another one of those words I absolutely loathe, because you believe in the tooth fairy. You trust that you can access energetics. Mm-hmm. And I trust that I can, because I do on a regular basis. And it's helped relationships with humans, and it's helped with these relationships with animals, and like my Foxy, the relationship is completely different now than when I was a 15-year-old girl.
Of course. Oh my gosh. Do you know what I want us to do? And you can join us, dear listener. I really want us just to go to a petting zoo. Let's just go to a petting zoo and like try and chat some animals, man. I want to see what a goat talks like.
I wonder what a goat would have to say about the day to day. What advice a goat has for you for the rest of your life.
Okay, I'm going to plan it. I'm going to arrange it. No, I do. I love that you said frequency and like tuning in, because that is exactly what it is. And I feel like, you know, you can define, like we're talking about animal communication today as a thing, as a practice. But, you know, like we've said, it is no different to any of that. If you're doing trance work, if you're doing spirit work, let's say it like that. If you're doing spirit work, you're trying to connect with the spirit of the lands that you're with the plants, with the animals, then you are doing this. It is no different. And I feel like that's quite an important thing to explain, in the sense of like
that. I want to emphasize that so much. This is simply an extension of you going out, putting your earth on the ground and talking to a tree.
Exactly that. And one thing I also do want to just mention while we're talking about it is, if you are trying to connect with an animal that is somebody's companion animal or pet, like for example Foxy, like I would never ever, same with like doing a reading, I would never just do a reading for Jay if she hadn't given me permission to do that. I would never go and communicate with somebody else's companion animal unless they had given me permission to do that. So just to remember that as well, there are like levels of respect to have with this. You can't just go off like chatting to your neighbor's cat,
soul bond with someone else's cat.
Exactly. Learning all their
dick move. Exactly.
For me it completely leads on from connecting with that intuition completely, and it is just like that. Let's retune into a different radio station. That is such a good kind of way, I feel like, for humans to understand what we're doing when we do spirit work. It's just that refocusing, that rechanging.
This is all we're doing in spirit work. It's just remembering that we exist on a certain vibration of light and sound. That's how we exist. Literally, there are scientific research, evidence, laws that back this up. Everything's just frequency, energy. And if you can understand in animism, you're not contacting the devil. This isn't devil work. All you are doing is learning to work with the different energetic levels of the universe. And being an animist, this for me is a lifelong pursuit. What can I communicate with? What can't I communicate with? And do you know, as far as I've come in my journey, the only thing I have difficulty communicating with is like things made of plastic. But natural occurring things, there's always some kind of memory or image that it can give me. Even when you're like when I'm going into houses and doing house clearings for like ghosts and spirits, sometimes you can feel the energy in the walls themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, for some reason, anything that is material in this realm seems to find a way of grabbing onto energy, and there's a way of tapping into that. And what's more material than our little fairy friends, who have their own energetics that can be tapped into, that can be understood and worked with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. You know, it just makes me think about all of the, you know, the more people that understand the potential of this, like there's so much good work that can be done. You know, one of the things that I would love to do when I feel like I've got like the right kind of time and routine is to be able to volunteer at like a you know, dog, Galaxy Dogs and Cats or somewhere like that, you know, where you could, as a volunteer, to kind of be there to emotionally support the animals. But I would love to be able to do that. Yeah, and I just think, you know, for me, having this relationship, especially with my dog, like, it's different. Like, I would call myself a cat person in the sense of, like, that's what, I'm quite a feline and I get them. Yeah. And there's an element of, like, I love the separation that you can have with a cat.
I always find that cat people love dogs, but there are a lot of people who would self-proclaim as purely dog people who would be like, ugh, cats.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, what's your problem? Animal's animal. But, like...
For real. Maybe it's then, you.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're a problem. But, you know, having JJ, having a dog, is a completely different experience to having a cat. It's just so much more, like, hard work. Like, I have to be so much more involved with him and his life and looking after him. And, yeah, just for me, it's been a challenge, but it's also been a massive, massive gift. And also just in the understanding of, like, purity and innocence and love. Yeah. Like, I feel like the animals are an amazing teacher of love. Like, seriously, the way that they love you is pure. Even though, you know, the way Foxy can have her attitude, but you know how she loves you. You can completely trust that part of your relationship. It is what it is. She's giving you what she's giving you. And it's just sometimes more refreshing than human relationships, I think, in that way.
There are some people who I think I'd rather be at home with my cat, and then I proceed to not see those people again.
Yes. Well, this is descending into fuck the humans. Let's just sit at home with our animals.
I love humans, but there are some humans that I like significantly less than my cat. No, I'm not going to lie about that.
100%. I mean, this may be a really bad thing to admit, but, like, I'm also, and I love children. I love people, like, but if you showed me an animal video, like a sad video of a dog and a sad video of a child, I would cry at the dog one and probably not cry at the child one. What does that say about me?
I feel like a lot of people can probably relate to that. You know, even with that thing that happened, what, it was over a month ago now, where that footballer, I don't follow football, kicked the cat, which was absolutely fucking despicable. But then people pointed out that, you know, there are people who have done racist stuff within the Football League who weren't punished as harshly as he was. And, you know, two things can be true. Kicking a cat is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
But you can actually see the evidence of where people prefer to stand for a cat than they would, like, a person who is being abused. And, you know.
And isn't that such an interesting thing? Because at the same time that was coming out, there was another footballer who had just, there was, like, a recording of him, like, sexually assaulting his girlfriend. I don't know if you heard about that. And it was really interesting because that was big in the paper. And then all of a sudden, the guy kicked his cat and that destroyed all the other articles. Like, it's like that Netflix show, like, Don't Fuck With Cats. Because, and it's interesting, like, we have to think about why we kind of feel this way. And I think it's because, you know, there is something that is kind of incorruptible about animals. There's something so pure about them. And I feel like it, if I meet a person who goes, I don't like animals, I'm like, well, I don't like you, because I think there's something
wrong. Oh my God.
I think there's something wrong with your heart, man. There's something wrong with your soul. Like, how can you not like, you're not that you have to want to be around them all the time, but how can you not like animals? Like,
no, I had some Jehovah's Witness come around to my house once, and I, you know, generally speaking, Mum would let them in because I think a couple of them are familiar with some of my family members who are Jehovah's Witnesses. So we're never rude to them. And I remember my mum letting this woman come in and her seeing my cat and just the way she turned up her nose. My mum said, oh, do you not like cats? She's like, no, I don't like animals. And do you know, because I was raised to be polite, I didn't say my thoughts, but I thought, well, you're the fucking devil.
Yeah, like, God is not with you. God is not with
God
you.
God is
woman.
Not with you. I don't know what you're coming around here to preach, but you are D-U-N done with me here. I cannot trust you. How am I meant to trust you preaching the word of God, where literally one of God's creatures is right here, and you're literally, the way she skin up her face, man. Oh.
That's all we need disgusting. To say about that. This is one thing that I always found crazy as well, being raised a Catholic. Like, yeah. Animals don't go to heaven. Animals don't have souls. What kind of propaganda is that?
Propaganda. Oh my God.
There is no doubt. My JJ is going to heaven before, like, 70% of my friends. I swear. Like... Do you think that you will try to do some more kind of technical animal communication with Foxy?
Yeah, I think I will do. There was one night that I'd like majorly tripped, and then I must have gone off on a mad one the next morning, where I started like recording all of her little noises and started like cataloguing them. Because I was just like determined, I'm going to crack how to actually talk to cats. And, you know, that didn't go very far because that was essentially the psychedelic come down. But I am dedicating to wanting to know what she is saying. And as soon as we move to a bigger place, I am going to buy those buttons for her, because I would like the words to be able to know what she's saying.
Just be careful with what you put down for her, because like one thing I've noticed is the smart people don't put down hungry, food, like none of that. Like I swear, if I was going to teach JJ, I'd have to be so discerning with the words I had to put down, because he would be constantly asking me, treat, 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 hungry, 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 hungry. Like, just be careful, because it's going to give Foxy another level of control over your life. But I'm excited to see it.
She's such a chunky monkey already. Since she's got here, my mum and my brother have said, like, she's got really fat. Well, she hasn't. She's just eating healthily now.
Guys, when I went to Jay's house, I met the cat. The cat was literally there going, bitch, feed me some food. And I'm saying to Jay, hey, you can be in charge of when she eats. And Jay's like, no, I can't.
I can't.
No, she's too old for that. I think you just need to give her, like, you need to give her whatever she wants. She's an elder, Jay. She's an elder. She just needs respect
she's
and a nice 15 life.
15 years old.
Which makes her about 270 in cat years, doesn't it?
Yeah, I have to give her everything she wants. No, this codependent relationship started very, very young with her whenever she would ask for something and I said no, or if I'd tell her off for doing something, as you would when you're learning to train cats, she would like lick all of the fur off of her bum. So now I live in like perpetual state of fear of her having like a hairless ass. So
oh my God, she's...
I don't tell her off for anything.
Drop her under the thumb, Jay. Like that cat has you.
She's got me in a chokehold. But I wouldn't trade her. I wouldn't trade her in for an easier personality. I would not. There's no way. And that might be the cat bacteria speaking.
Yeah, it is. Probably. Oh, no, I love her. She made me feel really special. Like literally,
yeah.
When I came out, she sat next to me and she was like all engaging with me. I was like, I'm important because Foxy is giving me a ton of it.
She did really take in a special liking to you. And she's been really skittish in the past, so that's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, it's, I think especially with cats, like if you go to someone's house and you meet their cat and their cat takes to you, it literally, there's nothing better in the world. Like seriously, if that random cat likes you, wow, you are, there's something good about your soul.
Definitely.
I want to, before we head off, I want to just offer a couple of books that I have read in regards to animal communication. And I've chosen these books to tell you about because they are very instructional, you know, so you could literally pick up this book and just be brave and learn to communicate with your animal. And there's loads of case studies in there to just make you feel more faith, you know.
Yeah.
So there was one called The Language of Miracles by Amelia Kincaid. a celebrated psychic teaches you to talk to animals, which is great. But I also love Marta Williams is like one of my favorite animal communicators, and she's got this book called Learning Their Language: Intuitive Communication with Animals and Nature. And it's a beautiful book to read. And again, it's like I literally just opened a random page and there's just bullet points. I love it when there's bullet points in the book because you know you're getting instructed. You know,
yeah. Like, okay, I love a bullet point.
If you have an interest in it, pick up one of those. Give us a DM, seriously, because I could talk about this for days. I could talk about this for days.
Please reach out to us. We'd love to hear your animal communication stories. Have there been a moment where you've unknowingly communicated with your animal and they've just responded and you've been a bit shocked with yourself and them? Did it seem coincidental, or you've had to tell yourself, no, it's purely a coincidence? But now you're listening to us, you're maybe it wasn't. DM us. We would love to hear about that.
Oh, as always, it's so good chatting with you.
Always lovely chatting with you, and lovely to have you here, lovely listener. You know where to find us: Instagram, the Afro Animist Podcast,
TikTok, the Afro Animist Podcast,
Twitter, Afro Animist. There's a restriction on word count there. Irritating. And of course, you're listening to us on Spotify. Continue to listen to us. Continue to share this with your friends. We're trying to build a community here, and we are so, so eternally grateful that you are choosing to be a part of the Afro Animist Podcast.
I'm Nicola.
And I'm Jay Percy, the artist.
And we will see you next week.
Take care.